Hatred can be effectively used as fuel, and not just by those of us trying to traverse thorny and painful personal relationships. Institutions with global influence have tried to harness hate, too.
It was a fascinating study that found that after World War II, only a tiny fraction of soldiers actually fired their guns at the enemy. And those that did fire their guns very often intentionally missed their targets, their human targets. So after World War II, when it was discovered that this was the case, military leaders decided to initiate psychological training programs, which resulted in a massive increase in willingness to kill in a war setting.
That is hate crime expert Matthew Williams. He's professor of criminology at Cardiff University, and there he was describing the psychological programs employed by the U.S. military to increase kill rates. After the Second World War, the Army started using man-shaped targets instead of bullseyes and tried dispersing responsibility for killing throughout the troops or to place it onto an authority figure like the commanding officer. They also aimed to recast the enemy.
One side is told that the other side is in some way subhuman. They are akin to, say, parasites. They are cockroaches. They are vermin, for example.
So if hate can cause violence, then what causes hate? Matthew identifies what he calls accelerants, social or psychological forces that push people to hatred.
So a social force might be, for example, a condition, an economic condition where competition is fierce because the resources are incredibly scarce. In situations where resources are scarce in times of economic downturn, for example, we saw it in 2008 with the crash, division grows.
That's a social accelerant. The second type of accelerant is psychological.
For example, a trauma that's happened to a person in their lifetime, say they've been unemployed for a very long time, and they feel shame, embarrassment, the way their life has developed. And then they're told by a political leader that it's not their fault that they are unemployed. And in fact, it's the fault of immigrants because they're taking all the jobs. Then all of a sudden, this psychological trauma is being weaponized in a way that demonizes an outgroup.
The social accelerant, job scarcity, compounds with the psychological accelerant, humiliation. And Matthew says that if those forces bear down hard enough, hatred is forged in the pressure. And hateful sentiment can become hateful action.
I was a victim of a hate crime around 20 years ago. When I was standing in a gay bar in London, I lit up a cigarette and someone asked me for a light. I offered, and within seconds, I was on the floor and I looked up at my attacker and they used a homophobic slur.
Two other men were in on the assault. Queer bashing was the name for that kind of attack then. It wasn't about robbery or personal conflict. It was more like sport. Matthew remembers hearing their laughter as they left. They didn't hate him personally. Their contempt was for his general way of life. The hate in hate crime overlaps, or maybe blurs, into other terms like bigotry or moral disregard. After the attack, Matthew lay on the floor, bleeding from the mouth, head ringing. He's never held his partner's hand in public since. He became obsessed with the question of his attacker's motives. What could those guys have possibly gained from beating him up?
I was looking for something concrete to separate them from me. I was looking to see that there was something. Maybe, you know, they are so different from me because biologically speaking, they are fundamentally different. I wanted to find that, but I didn't. The surprise for me was that we're all capable of hatred given the right set of circumstances. Anyone can become that attacker. Because all my attackers were young black men, one of my concerns was that the attack may have change the way I think about young black men.
As the saying goes, hurt people hurt people. We're subject to different accelerants, and our ability to cope with them varies too. But none of us are immune to them. And Matthew was self-aware enough to guard against his own experience pushing him to reactionary or retaliatory attitudes of his own. There's an onus on all of us to prevent our particular pains from calcifying into general prejudices. Without willful intervention, hate can have a very long lifespan.